Welcome to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, of course, coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. My favorite nook is in Washington, D.C., and my favorite person is there in the wings in our virtual green room, Victoria Jones from Talk Radio News. Hello, Victoria. What happened to our weekend?
It just disappeared. Part of mine disappeared, of course, down the rabbit hole of the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Oh, that's a good thing to start with, actually. How was that dinner? How was Conan O'Brien? How would you rate him?
He was funny. Wasn't as funny as Barack Obama.
I heard that. So Obama was really the guy who was doing the roasting.
He was very funny indeed. He's got a great sense of timing. He's got good writers, and he's just got a surefire delivery, and mm-hmm. He's very confident in himself. He doesn't mind making fun of himself, and he didn't mind taking shots at anybody else either.
Yeah. When you go to those things, of course, you rub elbows with all kinds of people. Who was your favorite person you met at the dinner?
Yeah, John Bon Jovi was unbelievably charming, as well as so good-looking that you just can't believe it.
Oh, now I'm really upset that you met John Bon Jovi. I'm from New Jersey. You're from England. That's not fair.
That's not fair.
It's not fair. Oh, well, I'm glad you had a good time. So everybody pretty much uses Sunday to recover then.
Oh, absolutely. They were wiped because there were post-parties, which I had to pass on because, I get up at 2 during the week. It was like, no, you play, you pay. There's a limit to how much I'm prepared to pay.
I gotcha. Hey, big story, NBC's Pete Williams, you told me actually, broke this one about the bombing suspect's lawyers are looking for a plea deal to waive the death penalty. I can only imagine what the reaction is coming, will be coming out of Washington, because this is kind of a late-breaking thing. I'm sure the White House will say something about it, don't you think?
Yeah, these are very early discussions about a possible deal. I would think sometimes the White House wants to stay out of this if they possibly can, because they don't want to get drawn on this. But all that we know so far is that very early discussions about a possible deal have started, and Judy Clark has joined the defense team. I don't know how they got her and who's doing the negotiating to get her anyway, but she is a well-known death penalty lawyer. Previous clients have included the Unabomber Ted Kaczynski, more recently Jared Loughner, who was spared the death penalty for the Tucson, Arizona shooting. And also she defended Susan Smith, who drowned her two children. They all got life.
Yeah. So really she's in a way the angel of sparing death, I guess, because of what you just said. That's what's happened. That's what she's really brought in to do, I think. I mean, in all those cases, they were high-profile cases, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll see how that all plays out. Syria, we've talked about Syria a lot here with you and with other people, with terrorism experts, talking about what about this plant, what about the weapons, how many weapons, here we go again, is it like weapons of mass destruction, what's the deal in that? So what's the latest we're hearing out of D.C.?
Well, the latest is two things. One is that White House says today that President Obama, Russian President Vladimir Putin talked on the phone today with the U.S. leader, underscoring his concern over Syrian chemical weapons. Also, White House spokesman Jay Carney said Monday that he would not speculate about how much time might be required to gather the evidence necessary to be able to assess clearly whether or not the red line has been crossed, but saying that that they want a vigorous investigation. And Obama said on Friday that he wants it investigated very quickly. So, they want this thing investigated. They want it done quickly, but they want it done very thoroughly. They want a chain of custody. It's the U.S. that's going to be going in and going to be, not boots on the ground, but it's going to be responsible for this, and it's going to have to own it. They want to be sure. They want to be sure that they're right.
All right, so there you go. It's like that scene in the movie. Did you see Zero Dark Thirty?
Oh, yeah.
And you know where she's at the table, and the guy who plays James Gandolfini, who plays Leon Panetta, and he goes around and asks everybody how sure they are that Bin Laden's there in the compound. Remember that? That's kind of the Washington thing, right? Everybody wants the 100%, but there is no 100%, and nobody wants to be the fall guy. That's pretty true, pretty accurate, I think, of D.C. Wouldn't you say, from covering it, that's what you get?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, nobody wants to take the axe. All right, last one, Benghazi. Now the administration, supposedly a little snippet I saw, they're blocking the whistleblowers, or is that exaggerated, or what's the scoop on that?
Well, that's what the Republicans are saying. They're saying they're blocking the whistleblowers. That's what they're saying. State Department's saying that's absolute rubbish. State Department's saying two things. One is that they've done an independent investigation done, like by their inspector general, that has been transparent, thorough, credible, and detailed, and they've shared the findings with the U.S. Congress, and that should be enough. That's a direct quotation. They also say the employees who were present during the attack or otherwise involved had already provided extensive testimony to the FBI and State Department's Independent Review Board, which, by the way, issued a scathing report last year. And he said they're back on duty and at their posts around the world. They also say the standard practice going back for a very long time is that there are senior officers who are willing to testify on behalf of the department. We don't sort of have people at the operational level necessarily as witnesses who are testifying. And that is true. That's not how you do it. The same thing, you don't have a soldier or troops called as witnesses. You have superior officers. And that they say that's the same for the State Department, but that's not what Congress, what Republicans in Congress are saying. They're saying that these people should testify.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So another one of those stay tunes. Benghazi not going away, at least certainly not in the headlines and not in Washington speak. Victoria Jones, is always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, coming up on America Tonight, a conversation with Dr. Hoberg again, because Obamacare has become yet more confusing. There was, you know, all of this tug of war over forms and how long forms would be to fill out and what the red tape was and all that sort of stuff. And now there's the so-called death panels. The committees haven't even been set up, haven't even been named, so that may go by the boards. When I'm talking about these applications, there's a 21-page application form that was going to be required for people to join those health care exchanges. So imagine what that would be like trying to fill that out, right? Do you want to answer 21 pages of questions? The answer is no. We can't understand half of the gobbledygook that has to do with health care as it already is, let alone what these exchanges would be. So how about this? The administration is going to announce a new three-pager for individuals. And there's going to be a seven-page application for families. So it's still less than the 21. And these health care exchanges, a lot of them still aren't formed. Remember, there were many states that refused to form them. So we're going to be talking about Obamacare with Dr. Hoberg again coming up in this hour of America Tonight. Stay with us. We've just scratched the surface. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Ends to start off this hour of America Tonight, including Tim Tebow, the man who made Tebowing famous and became was a Christian who made Christianity cool for lots of people. He is released by the Jets, so some people in New York are a little bit bummed by that. Others saying, "Oh well, his time has come and gone." Because Tebow was not really the right fit for the Jets. And speaking of right fit, at the tail end of this hour, we're going to talk about an NBA player who comes out as gay. And then the question comes up, is this guy going to play again? You have all kinds of reaction to this, including the NFL warning teams about, hey, don't you discriminate due to anyone's sexual orientation, because other sports are now concerned what could happen. Does this open the door for more people to say, hey, I got nothing to hide. This is the deal. I'm telling you the truth. This is how I feel. But anyway, we'll tell you who that is and what that's all about. Before we get there, though, to me, this was a real bummer of a story. Somebody sent me a link to it. It was actually my cousin in New Jersey saying, thank goodness I live on the other side of the bridge. New York City schools are going to do something to school children that no child ever wants done to them. You know what it is? They're going to try longer school days in 20 middle schools. And New York is like a prison state now. No big gulps. If you smoke cigarettes, you have to go on Smoker's Island. And longer days in school for all of you. So it is just a little thing that they're tinkering with. It's not citywide. If it works, though, they want to make it citywide. What they're saying is the schools, what they're going to do is they're going to have an intensive reading program and this extended day to help some of the middle schools. It's a pilot program. It's going to have maybe 2,000 students to see if it works or not and see if they can close the gap with some of the reading problems. Sixth graders that go to these schools throughout the city will stay extra hours for that language tutoring every single day and then get longer into the day in the 7th and 8th grades. And if they outperform the other kids, the city is going to try to expand that program so that they can raise the test scores. Now, you know, on the surface, is this a good idea? Hey, wouldn't this help? Aren't they smarter? Are there things that they couldn't do before? Won't they learn better? On the surface, it seems that way. But then you have to ask yourself, okay, so longer school days, 2.5 hours is a long time. They get home, what, eat dinner, have to do their homework, and then go to bed? I don't know if it's such a great idea. I mean, I think it depends on the family and what kids might need it. And here's the other problem with this. To me, it's so much about these tests that that's what this is. It's about the test. We want our test scores to be higher. Therefore, we're going to try this experiment so that the test scores will go up. I mean, I hate to be jaded, but is it really about those kids? I really want to make sure that everybody gets a better shake at a better education. Or is it that we need more funding for the schools and they have to have certain test scores, and if they don't, then we're not going to get the money that we need. So that's what we're looking for. We're trying to figure out ways to up the test scores if we could just do that. Now, part of this is because of the language barrier. And if you look at the recent Pew study, that language barrier could get worse. This is right before the president visits Mexico. The United States, they say, has a good relationship with Mexico as far as being favored. And I wonder why. Why do people in Mexico like the United States? A national opinion survey of Mexico by the Pew Research people that was just done a month ago found that 66% of Mexicans have a favorable opinion of the U.S. That's up from 56% a year ago and higher than it was following Arizona's immigration law in 2010, where it slipped to 44%. The president got higher ratings. The Mexicans are also in this poll anyway, saying they're now more aware of the view that the U.S. takes their country's interest into account when deciding international policy. So they say about half, 51%, say Washington considers their country's interest. 45% say it does not. I'm not going to bore you with a whole bunch of statistics, but this last one, about 6 in 10 Mexicans, so that's 61%. Say they would not move to the U.S. even if they had the means and opportunity to do so. Wow. By the way, I came up with those statistics even though I didn't have to stay after school every single day when I was in middle school for 2.5 hours. So, but they say that they wouldn't do that. Isn't that interesting? I wonder if that's because of sending money back, because of having to pay back money, figuring that all out. But I think that's, I think those are some interesting numbers from that perspective, because you automatically assume, oh, no, go to America, but that has to do with a change in policy once that all kicks in. Speaking of changes in policy, get your hands off my ammo. That's what several people said to me in many, many letters over the years, but particularly this year, it's been hot, as you know, since really mid-December, all the way through these last few months, and it's about, you know, what's going on with ammunition. The Government Accountability Office is actually jumping into this, saying that they're investigating large ammunition purchases made by the Department of Homeland Security because they're wondering what these big purchases were. And this has been flagged down, of course, because of a congressional investigative agency jumping into the middle of this and introducing in the Senate and in the House a bill to restrict the purchase of any kind of ammo by some other agencies like the Department of Defense. It's called the Ammo Act. It just came up last week, and it would prevent, you know, agencies under Homeland Security from buying more ammunition if stockpiles are greater than what they were in previous administrations. And it looks like they are. The DHS wanted to buy 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition. Are you kidding? 1.6 billion. How many is that per person? The DHS testified that they were only planning to buy up to $750 million, so they disputed that number that was leaked out. It was an accurate number, by the way, but then they took it back and said, well, that was highly, highly exaggerated. You know, give me a break. So much for transparency. You know, how we keep saying that, or hearing that this is a transparent group in D.C. Definitely not when it comes to ammunition, when it comes to what's going on with agencies like the Department of Justice, like Homeland Security. And while we're at it, we could probably name 35 others. 35 others. One last one that you'll find disturbing. If a guest did this in my house, boy, I hope they would leave and usher themselves out. I mean, what did this guy think? It was kitty litter? A California businessman is suing Virgin American Airlines because he claims he was improperly detained by the cops after flight attendants reported that he didn't flush an airplane toilet and quarreled with them over the purchase of a Coke. So in a U.S. District Court complaint, Salvador Bovino says that he was taken into custody against his will last April as he was trying to just get off from a flight from Philadelphia to San Francisco. He said six officers took him to a room where he was questioned, and he says it was exaggerated what he said. He didn't use obscenities like was reported, all that other sort of stuff. And one of the things they said is that he left the door open and didn't flush the toilet. And he denied all that stuff. He said he was a victim of in-flight profiling. What profiling would that be? Are you the guy that poops and doesn't flush? I mean, come on, give me a break. And you know, he's as white as Snow White. So whatever. He's saying they were discriminating against him because he was Italian. It was an Italian discriminatory thing that the flight attendants went after him. He says that his complexion isn't as light as it looks, and he could be mistaken as for being from the Middle East because of his appearance. Oh, my. Obnoxious. Are you kidding me? Acting like that and then trying to play a race card when there was no race card to play? I say he is the biggest loser. Stay with us. We're talking about Obamacare next on America Tonight.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
The coming financial collapse is real. The subsequent social unrest will happen. Even if you made it out of suburbia alive, where would you take your family? Act now to secure your survival retreat in the American Redoubt with the experts at SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com. The American Redoubt is the designated safe haven for all liberty-minded patriots relocating to Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. Get eyes, ears, and boots on the ground. Get professional, confidential, discreet advice
Get survivalretreatconsulting.com. Call 208-627-2855. Save time, money, and stress while you secure your ultimate survival retreat property now, before it's too late. Water, energy, food, defense. Survivalretreatconsulting.com. Survivalretreatconsulting.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Very pleased to welcome back to the show somebody that really sparked a lot of reaction here on America Tonight. Dr. David Hochberg is in the wings. He is a healthcare policy analyst for the National Center for Public Policy Research. And he was a Washington correspondent for Investors Business Daily, and of course specialized in healthcare and Medicare. So one of the things that now has happened, and something that we're going to talk about tonight on America Tonight, is the fact that looking at Obamacare, it looks like there's some missing deadlines. Of course, we've seen some missing deadlines. So what does that tell us? What does that show us? Doesn't inspire a lot of faith, certainly, but actually, what does it mean in terms of your health care and mine? Doctor, thanks for coming back on the show, and what should we read into the missing deadlines?
Well, thanks for having me back on. I think what you should read into it is probably another sign that Obamacare is imploding. Basically, what this refers to, and it's an article that I had on the American Spectator this morning, which is just at spectator.org, and you can also see it through our National Center's website. We have links to it there at nationalcenter.org. It refers to the Independent Payment Advisory Board, and some of your listeners might also know this. It was referred to by Sarah Palin and others as the death panel, and it's basically the board that is under Obamacare that is supposed to cut Medicare spending whenever Medicare's actual rate of growth exceeds certain targets, target rates of growth that are set up under Obamacare. Okay, well, basically tomorrow, April 30th, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services are supposed to actually do that analysis as to whether or not, or present that analysis on whether or not Medicare's growth rate has for 2015 will exceed the target, and it's supposed to give that analysis to IPAP. The problem is there's no IPAP.
Yeah, they haven't come up with a panel, right? Pardon? Yeah. They haven't come up with a committee yet, right?
No. President Obama basically hasn't nominated anyone yet to be on IPAB, even though he's had over 3 years to do it. And I think the basic fact is that the Obama administration, and frankly, no politician with any common sense wants to endure, you know, what is a likely public relations fiasco of having to defend IPAB.
Yeah, absolutely. And how crazy, because they have to produce, as you're talking about, that proposal to reduce, and you wrote about it, the Medicare spending. And so what draft? There is no draft. It certainly, if you know how it is when you form a committee, I'm sure you've been on some, I've been on some. This is already May, and that's supposed to be due by September 1st. So certainly you can only imagine that deadline's going to come and go, wouldn't you think?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. I mean, if they're off, they're kind of off the IPAB is, this non-existent IPAB is off the hook if CMS says, look, in 2015, we don't project that the Medicare growth rate will exceed the target, in which case they're off the hook. But at this point, they don't know that. And so if they find out that, yes, indeed, the growth rate will exceed the target, then IPAB is supposed to produce a draft proposal on how to, you know, reduce Medicare spending by September 1st of this year. It gives that to the Secretary of Health and Human Services. And then its final proposal, it's supposed to give to Congress and the President January 15th of next year. But, you know, look, I mean, first of all, you know, the first deadline's coming in 4 months. The President would have to put forward the nominations. The Senate has to confirm, so that, of course, means, you know, hearings and votes. And then, you know, IPAB is going to have to put together a proposal. I mean, that usually can't really be done in 4 months, and even with the deadline coming up in January, that's barely 8 months. I mean, it's hard to do that even in 8 months. And again, I think it's just because, you know, there is a big PR fiasco to be had by trying to defend this panel, and I think the Obama administration wants to avoid that. And I think they're hoping they can run out the clock. They're hoping that Medicare's expenditures are not going to exceed the target rates until after 2016, when it will no longer be President Obama's headache.
Yeah. You know, if people listening to you, Doc, right now, the thing that they're thinking is, oh, my gosh, Medicare, Medicaid, what does that mean to me? Should I be worried about it? What should I, you know, despite the stuff that we're talking about now with this independent payment advisory board, they're also thinking about, well, how is this all rolling out for me in the future? And what would you say to somebody who's concerned? What should they do? Is there anything you can do to counteract what might be something that's barely affordable, or who knows where we're headed with all of this?
Well, the first thing you're going to have to do is look around for cheaper alternatives in healthcare is simply one, and because you're going to see, at least in the next couple of years, costs going up a lot, at least in private health insurance. The other is, and I need to kind of, you know, since we're part of a 501c3 nonprofit here, I got to be kind of careful about talking about elections. But with regard to 2014 and future elections, just use your common sense and bring your concerns to bear.
Yeah, because you know what it comes down to. It's like when affordable health care, which was initially the bill that then turned into the law, when it first was discussed several years ago, you remember that there were all those town hall meetings and a lot of Congress people and senators held them, and people were confused, and the thing they wanted to know was the cost. But besides the cost, the thing that really I want to know, and you've got the bird's eye view, is how is this going to affect our care, the kind of care we get in this country. I mean, I know some wonderful doctors, but I also know some doctors who are bailing out of the business because they just don't want to be caught in this rigmarole of what's happening. So they're at the point where they can retire and do something else. They're actually going to make a career change. And I think that doesn't bode well. Do you think that more people that are in the healthcare industry may take that option?
I would suspect many of them would. When you look at surveys that are done on what frustrates physicians the most, oftentimes it's dealing with regulations, whether they come from a Medicare or Medicaid, or whether they come from insurance companies. And Obamacare is just one big, massive pile of regulations, and doctors get frustrated with that because they'd rather spend time on patients and not dealing with paperwork. And I think Obamacare is only going to increase the latter. And I think you'll see a lot of good physicians get out early if they can.
Yeah.
And then you get into the question, well, what kinds of people are going to be attracted to an industry that becomes so heavily dominated by paperwork, so heavily dominated by regulations, that's going to have an impact on quality as well. One of the other big problems with Obamacare, and that this is especially I think the case with IPAP, is you're taking a lot of decisions and you're putting them into the hands of people who pay very little, if any, cost for being wrong. As opposed to leaving them in the hands of the decisions in the hands of patients who do pay the cost for if the choice they make is wrong, with either more pain or maybe the ultimate cost of dying. But once you put the decisions into the hands of bureaucrats and politicians who seldom pay any cost for being wrong, well, what kind of decisions are you going to get when you pay no cost for being wrong? It's not a setup for really decisions that lead to good outcomes.
Yeah. And along those same lines, last one, would it have been better? I mean, hey, look, if there could be some reform in health care, Republicans have suggested it. Democrats in the past have had a couple of decent ideas, but of course there's never a quorum with all of this. And so do you think part of that is also not enough healthcare people on the ground are involved in this, and not just people in general, not more polling of people, those town hall meetings before the fact, that kind of stuff? If you were re-racking that, would see that as the better way to go?
Better way to go which way? I'm sorry.
Meaning before you're going to make any kind of legislation, really look at the people who are affected by it and have them involved in a lot of the committees. In other words, more doctors on the ground level. There were some doctors involved, but more people involved in saying this is what's really happening. So when you go and you're trying to make a law, here's the reality of how that affects us in a hospital or a healthcare system or us as patients. Because I think that's what's happened here, obviously.
Yeah, I'm have no problem with legislators trying to get as much input as they can before they make policy. But I think it goes a little bit beyond that. I believe one of the things that we need to do with our healthcare system is that we need to pay more of the costs directly. We need to be more consumers.
Yeah.
And it doesn't just, that doesn't just mean that you pay out of pocket. It may also mean that, the insurance company cuts you a check for bigger expenses, say when you need a knee replacement or something like that. I think because of the way employer-based insurance is set up, Medicare and Medicaid are set up, we have become very accustomed to this third-party payment system where we don't really have to think about the price of health care that we receive. We don't have to think about, do I need this health care? Do I not need it? That has the effect of not pushing providers to compete on price and to compete on quality and to find ways to please patients at the same time driving down costs.
Dr. Hoberg, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
Mother's Day is next week, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing Mother's Day special. 100 stunning blooms for mom, plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. Plus, order today and you're automatically entered for a chance to win an amazing trip for mom. 3 lucky grand prize winners and a guest will be whisked away to your choice of Paris, Napa, or St. Thomas. Just go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5454. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings. 100 colorful blooms for mom, guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days, plus a free vase for only $19.99. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday, and if you order this week, you're entered for a chance to win a trip for mom to an incredible destination. The only way to get this amazing deal and be entered to win the trip of a lifetime is to go to proflowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5454.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or over. Restrictions apply. See rules and website for details.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and I'm giving you a personal invitation to join me Tuesday, April 30th. This is 7 p.m. It's a free lecture at the Holiday Inn, Hurstbourne Parkway, Louisville, Kentucky. Now, this lecture is going to cover the top 8 diseases that afflict Americans. I'm going to show you how Alzheimer's disease is preventable by 80%. I'm going to show you how Alzheimer's disease is a physician-caused disease and how you can prevent it and how to reverse dementias. Let me tell you, this is going to be great. I'm going to show you how to reverse arthritis, how to reverse heart disease. I'm going to show you how to reverse high blood pressure. I'm going to show you how to support and promote maintenance repair of cartilage, ligaments, tendons, connective tissue, disc between your vertebrae. You don't need doctors for the most part except for emergency. Emergency, you got to go to the doctor. Otherwise, come see me. Free. This is Tuesday night, April 30th, 7 p.m., Holiday Inn, Hurstbourne Parkway, Louisville, Kentucky. Tell them Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, sent you.
Hello, I'm Pastor Broden. The First Amendment is made up of 5 platforms that are designed to limit government and protect our liberties. Our founding fathers covered in the First Amendment the right to religious liberty, restriction on federal government's interference in our religious liberty, our right to free speech, and the right to a free press. The 5th platform in the First Amendment is the answer to our government operating in an unconstitutional way. The right to peaceably assemble and petition redress for grievances. Redress means to set right, to amend. It is a remedy for a wrong or an ill perpetrated against we the people. To nullify unconstitutional law or executive orders, we must petition redress. Sign our petition for redress at c.x.com. That's c.dot.x.com. Redress equals solution.
Tonight, hey everybody, Kate Delaney hanging out with all of yous. All right, I swear you can't make up this stuff. We could be playing Christmas music in Colorado. In Denver, they're getting ready for a big snowstorm. I had a roommate that lives outside of Denver and said they are starting to see flakes already. So cold air going across the plains, more spring snow for places like Denver. It's weird because it was 80 something during the day on Monday, but it's that shock, you know, the cold air, the right wind, the storm sets up that snow situation. But think about it. We're talking snow into May. I mean, that's just craziness, isn't it? Craziness along, you know, I-80 or I-25 or I-70, not expecting those places to be shut down. And they think they could get a decent amount of snow, too. Now, not like it has never, in the history of all the records that they keep, ever snowed in Denver in May, but it's very unusual. North Platte, Scottsbluff, Nebraska, Casper, Wyoming, Cheyenne, Wyoming, all these places could get snow. And that's not the only spot. Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan. And let's go to the mothership to our resident meteorologist, Matt Johnson. Matt, I guess you can't be putting the shovels away just yet if you live in Minnesota, right?
Well, we just came off of a weekend where it hit 80 degrees on Saturday, but apparently it might snow here on Thursday. That's the,
wow.
That's the topsy-turvy weather land I live in, where it's a roller coaster. One week it's 80 degrees, next week you get snow.
Yeah, so that means you always have to put yourself in a situation where you have layers because you're just not really sure what could happen. The weather can change on a dime.
Yeah, you bring your shorts, your flip-flops, and your tank top out, and then also pack your boots and snow pants.
Yeah, how crazy. Baseball games snowed out. That's yep. kind of stuff that'll happen. I mean, just insane
honestly,
to think of that.
I'm hoping it doesn't. I hope that, you know, weather people can be wrong, and it's still a few days away. But I know for a fact, and just based on how many people were actually outside on patios and just enjoying the sun on Saturday, that people around here will probably lose their minds if it snows on Thursday.
Keep the white stuff away from us. We don't want it. I mean, if you get to a point where you want the calendar to change. And Matt said it right. If you're sitting out on patios, drinking a few libations, hanging out with your posse, you are ready. You are ready to hang and enjoy maybe some crisp, cool air, but you don't want to be shoveling. You don't want to be worried about driving home and blowing snow and snow drifts and all that other kind of stuff. All right, I said I would tell you about the NBA player who came out. This is very, very big news because, you know, everybody talks about this. When will somebody currently in sports admit that they're gay? Will we see people openly play gay? And that has happened. The question is, will he play again? Because he's an NBA veteran. You know, you hit a certain age and your stock goes down. It has nothing to do with being gay or not. But he's a center. He's 34 years old, like I said. His name is Jason Collins. And his story is in the current issue of Sports Illustrated. He said he didn't set out to be the first openly gay athlete playing in a major American sports team, but he's happy to start the conversation. He's not afraid to admit it, that he grew up in Los Angeles. He won 2 high school championships. He went to a Final Four, Elite Eight, 9 playoffs, and 12 NBA seasons. And he's played for 6 pro teams in his career. And now he's a free agent. And he said he is literally and figuratively, by the way, a free agent. So will somebody pick him up? Does this affect anyone's decision? Now, nobody would say that. No team is going to come out and say that we don't want any controversy, or we think most of the fans would embrace him, but we don't want to even go there, or, you know, whatever. And so what makes him come out? The Boston Marathon bombing, he said, reinforced what was in his head, that he doesn't need to wait for circumstances to be perfect, that things can change in an instant, so why not live truthfully? And he decided that, you know, he was just going to say that he doesn't want to have to worry about not sleeping well or fake dating women or any of this kind of stuff, but that he is gay and feels blessed by the attributes that he has, the gifts, the talents on the court, that kind of stuff. So why hide it anymore? Here's some reaction by the man on the street, basketball fans, to Collins saying that he's gay.
It's not about if he's gay or straight. I mean, he plays ball. They all play the same thing. They have something in common.
He's the first one. Fantastic. You know there's like 25 more.
Notice that sarcasm there. You know there's like 25 more. In the NBA, I don't know. I don't know that they're going to freak out that much about it. But in other sports, I think they're concerned about, does this open the floodgates for this? And by the way, Jason Collins has a brother, Jerome Collins, and certainly he's aware of it. He's married. He's got a couple of kids. He obviously has to know that and probably, you know, how does he react to that? And I guess what he's saying is he's proud and he doesn't care. He's his brother, and you know, that's it. He said when he first told him, he said, "You're what?" You know, he had no idea, but he's not concerned about it. And that may be the reaction of most of the people around him. But the teams, if someone will pick him up, you know, his skills have eroded, especially with his age and whatnot. But, you know, it remains to be seen as if this would cost him. And that's going to be pretty hard to, that's going to be pretty hard to know. You know, one thing that did happen is ESPN's Chris Broussard called homosexuality a sin during a Jason Collins segment. So he is kind of under fire for quoting the Bible when he was discussing his decision to come out, the Wizards Center's decision to come out because Collins was a wizard. And they did a one-hour special as soon as it was announced and talked about all aspects of it, how that affects the team, what a big deal that is in sports for somebody to come out, that kind of stuff. And Broussard was on Outside the Lines talking about the ramifications of an openly gay player in the NBA. And he said there were other people who felt the same way he did, who might not have reservation about discussing them, who might have reservations about discussing them openly. Because he said, as a Christian, I don't agree with homosexuality. I think it's a sin. There are a lot of Christians in the NBA, and just because they don't agree with that lifestyle, they don't want to be called bigoted and intolerant. So there may be more reaction like that, but I think overall the reaction to it is just going to be, we suspected there were certainly, it's a microcosm of society, so we expected that certainly there would be some gay athletes, and okay, so it happens to be you. And because he's a veteran NBA player, I don't know that you can call discrimination on whether he gets picked, especially at the center spot, it's discrimination if he doesn't get picked up by some team. Now, the NFL distributed a document to its teams Monday reiterating anti-discrimination policy on sexual orientation, had a feeling they knew that this was happening. You know, the NBA guys are close to the NFL guys, and they're all there in New York. So Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, sent the notes to the front office people and coaches saying, please make sure that this is made available to all players. And it includes a section on questions the teams can't ask prospective draft picks and free agents. And that has to do with, do you like women or men? And how well do you do with the ladies? Do you have a girlfriend? All that kind of stuff. It says no jokes, no comments, no pranks. None of that kind of stuff. Wow, really clamping down. How about the timing of that memo and then what happened Monday with the veteran NBA center, Jason Collins? I'm sure there's going to be a lot of reaction to this in this upcoming week.
Introducing a 30-day emergency food supply for only $99. At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can purchase Oregon Trail Foods' one-month supply of high-quality, nutritious, and healthy emergency meals for less than $100. These vegetarian meals are all-natural, non-GMO, high in carbs and protein, and are packed with oxygen absorbers in Mylar pouches. They take up to 70% less space than number 10 cans, have a 20-year shelf life, and huge portions, over twice the serving size of some competitors' meals. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying direct from producers in Oregon and then pass the savings on to you. Purchase a 30-day, 90-serving emergency food supply for only $99 this month, and $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Call 541-673-6666 or visit 30dayfoodsupply.com, where they make preparedness affordable. 30dayfoodsupply.com. Got it? Get it. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com.